Well, Joan, it's 2 years since the last album of New Songs, The Key. How do you think the music has changed from that album to the new one, Secret Secrets?
Well, the music's changed, but I think probably one of the most noticeable things about it is the sound has changed as well. With Steve Lillywhite, it was a very hard sound, rocky sound. But then the songs were harder and more rocky, like, you know, like Call Me Names. And with this song, with this album, it's sort of much fuller sound and different sounds. And
some of the arrangements are different, aren't they? The chord patterns are different, I think. The way you've actually structured the songs, perhaps?
Yeah, that's different as well. But I was going to say it's a smoother sound, but it's not smooth in a bland sort of way. Yeah, the arrangements are different, and the songs are... I say it's a more... It's a listening album, something you sort of sit down and listen to and maybe sort of... I don't say you work out what the chords are, but you will take more notice of what's happening. And the arrangements are good.
Is there any particular reason why it is different? I mean, it's obviously different to my ears, and I'm a fan of yours. I have to say that. They pay me to say that. No, seriously, it is different. And I wonder, did you make an objective effort to make it sound different, or is it just the state of mind and the changes in your own personality, a reflection of those?
No, I did want to make it different. I wanted the songs to be sort of more musical, if that makes any sense. I mean, the key was musical, but it was sort of a bit, little bit bash-bash, you know. And I wanted to write some songs again, and I'm really pleased with that. Like, when I listen to something like One Night, it sounds very melodic, you know. And Talking to the Wall, it's just tune, and that's what I wanted.
You mentioned the change of producer from Steve Lillywhite to Mike Howlett. Now, Steve worked on The Key and also Walk Under Ladders. How did you meet Mike Howlett, and why that choice of producer?
Well, Mike, I had a sort of a choice of quite a few people to meet, and Mike was, my manager says he recommended him, so I have to believe him. we met. I mean, we have to meet to find out if we like each other and if we think we're going to get on. It's not a case of them saying, well, here's the next guy you work with. when we met and we spoke, he seemed, you know, quite sort of aware of what was happening. Like, I played him the songs and he was quite in tune with the sound of how things should be sounding. And I suppose it helps as well, because when I do the demos, I try and get the sort of sound that I'm trying to get. Obviously not as good as Mike can get.
In the case of Mike Howlett, now he's worked with A Flock of Seagulls and also with Berlin from the West Coast, and they both have much more aggressive sounds than the ones that you were looking for. Was it difficult to get that across to Mike, to say, I know what you've done in the past, but this is something different. I want you to be perhaps a slightly moodier, warmer sound?
No, it's not difficult, because he's very good. He's great at sounds. He's good at... being able to get different sounds, you know. As you say, it's a more aggressive sound with those other guys, but he's, as I said, sensitive to the songs, you know, so he can tell that a song like Talking to the Wall doesn't need bash bash, it needs a bit of warmth, and no problem at all. He's really good. I enjoyed working with him a lot, even though it took longer than I've ever taken to make a record. It was really enjoyable.
On Secret Secrets, you've been involved in the arrangement of the horn and string sections as well. I don't think it's the first time, though, that you've worked in arrangements, is it?
No, I always arrange the songs.
But noticeably more horn sounds, more of the brass section in on this album than The Key or Walk Under Ladders. To me it is, anyway. Yes. A lot more of that thump going in there occasionally.
Yes, there is, because I've sort of put more horns in it. I've sort of written some of the songs specifically to have a horn section in. You know, like sometimes you write a song and you think, oh, it might be nice if I put horns there, as opposed to, I'm going to write this song and I want horns there. So I did, but as you say, I mean, on the key and Walk on the Ladders, I did the horn arrangements and the string arrangements. So
on Thinking Man, you've got horns in, and it makes it sound a lot brighter. I guess the translation across to the live concert is attractive as well, because you see these trumpets and horns blasting away, and it's good to see that sort of thing,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I've only got one sax player, a trumpet player on stage, but it still works. I mean, they're good players, and it comes across as quite a full sound, and the engineer, the sound guy for live, is a really good guy as well, so he gets a big sound like the album.
It's also nice because we get tired of seeing electric instruments in a way that you don't see them doing anything. They're not very human in a way. I guess acoustic guitars are, and drums certainly are very, yes, very physical. Brass section's the other area, and if you see a sax or trumpet player on stage, it gives it more of a physical, emotional sound, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and it's in one of the songs that I do on stage that I've been doing since 1976. is a song called Tall in the Saddle, and it's usually a sort of a big guitar solo, you know, and now I've got the sax doing it, and it's yeah, I can sort of get lost listening to this. It's such a change, and it's just so sort of soothing as opposed to this wailing sort of noise.
With the album, you're not playing electric guitar. You've got someone else. I think David Rhodes is the guitarist on the album. But yeah, on the tour, you certainly play electric guitar. Why the difference? Why don't you play electric guitar on the album now? Is it because you feel someone else can do the job better?
No, I tend to do that anyway. I mean, every album I do, I say, OK, right, I'll play this and I'll play that. And I never end up doing half the things I said I was going to do. No, I don't know what it is. It happens all the time. But when I get live, then I'm more in the mood for it, you know. And then I think one of the other things as well is because I want to listen to what's happening. And when I'm in the studio, I want to hear what everybody's doing, so I can find out if it's all going according to plan. And so I sort of get a bit caught up with that, and I can't be playing at the same time because I want to find out that it's working. And, drums, Mel Gaynor, bass, Pino Palladino. It's a brilliant name, isn't it? Pino Palladino. David Rhodes guitar, Nick Plytus keyboards, Adrian Lee keyboard, synthesizer. What's his name there? Dave Battelli sax, Rick Taylor trombone. You got any more there? Oh yeah, Joe Jackson keyboards. I've left out a couple of names there because I can't think of them for a minute. Two trumpet players I've left out. Pino, the bass player, Mike Howlett recommended a few different bass players to me, and Pino is one of them. And Pino works with Paul Young, and I've always liked his playing with Paul Young, so that was an easy choice. Mel Gaynor I saw with Simple Minds on the television, and I like Simple Minds anyway, so this was after the key, and I decided after the key that I would have him for my next album.
If he let you.
If he let me, yeah.
And David on guitar.
Yeah, David Rose guitar. He's worked with Peter Gabriel and Blancmange, and Mike Howlett recommended him. Nick Plytus on keyboards was on Walk Under Ladders, and I really enjoy his playing, so I've had him again. Adrian Lee, I wanted to be in the band, but he's a very busy person, and he sort of produces and does all sorts of other things. He couldn't make the band, but he could make the album, so that was nice. He's a really good synthesizer player, excellent at sounds, and you know, he definitely knows the instruments inside out when it comes to sort of the technical bits, you know.
How do you get along? We don't see the recording side of an artist's work. We only see the artist and hear from them when the product's finished, when the printing presses have released the album and the sleeve's out, and then when they go on tour. But that nurturing of musical ideas that goes on in the early days of putting an album together, we don't really see very much of that. How do you get along? How is the relationship between the musicians that you employ for a project? I mean, you have musical ideas, obviously, and you have to direct them, don't you?
Yes, but it's when I started first, say, like making my very first record in 1972, it was a little bit more difficult because I had to explain more what I wanted, or play it on the piano or the guitar and say this is what I'd like. But over the years, I've made good demos where I play all the parts that I want, and I work out all the arrangements. And so it's a lot easier, because all I do then is play the tape, and the bass player can hear what he's supposed to be playing, and the drummer can hear what he's supposed to be playing, and, you know, it makes life a lot more simple. And then I write the chords out. And so between the chords and them hearing it, and it being easier like that, and then I also, I might change things as I'm going along and say, well, I'd like you to do this instead of this.
Do you say it as polite as you've just said it then, or do you sometimes say, look, that's wrong, I'm sorry, if you don't get it right this time, you're out?
No, I've never said that in my life. No, there's no point.
No, but sometimes if you wind people up the right way, you get certain things out of them, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I don't... No, there's no need. I mean, all the guys that I work with, they're professional musicians, they're good musicians, you know, and all you have to do is explain to them what you're trying to get at, and there's never any bother. And within all the arrangements that I do, there's room, it might not be stacks of room, but there is room for them to express themselves and bring out how good a player they are. I mean, like with Pino, you know, just the sound that he gets. Even if he played note for note what I told him, the sound would make it sound so much better than I could when I play it, you know. And then he'll sort of put his little phrase in it and whatever. No, I've never found cause to shout.
Joe Jackson's involved in the album. How did he get involved to begin with? And how did you decide which song you were going to share with him on the album?
Well, Talking to the Wall was easy because it's sort of the start of the song is right up his street, so there's no problem. And the one that is just me and him, I wrote the night before we did it because I wanted to do something with just me and him. And we talked about working together before, you know, when he did his last album. And we met up at the Grammys, last lot of Grammys, and talked about it again and worked out that we could work together this time. And he's an excellent musician. I mean, I'm sure I don't have to tell most people this, but he really is better than they think.
You're currently on the British leg of the Secrets tour, and then that takes you, I think, through Europe and then out to the farther reaches of the universe, or farther reaches of this earth that's part of the universe. How's the tour going, Dan?
Oh, it's going really well. Hmm. Yeah, we started in Cardiff, did two shows, and ended up with six shows at Hammersmith, which is very nice. And it's been going really well. The band is bass, drums, guitar, keyboards, sax and trumpet. And it's a very full, quite a rich sound, I was going to say. It's obviously, the more we do, the better it becomes, you know. But it's going to be a really nice... In fact, it is. It's a really good band.
Difficult to choose the songs for the tour because you've got so many albums now. I think over half a dozen albums out now and lots of favourites there that I'm sure your fans want to hear. But you have to say, I'm sorry, no room for that one this year.
Yes. Well, what I used to do was I would have something from every album. And when it was a new album, there would be just a few things from the new album as well. But this time I've got the majority of the show is from the new album because I just fancy to change, you know, I mean... I don't do like Rosie and You Wrote You Tie Me and things like that because I've done them for quite a while. But certain songs, even I think it's a good idea to have, like Love and Affection and Me, Myself, I.